And if you're watching a hockey game, basketball game, I mean, what better way to enjoy it than with some nachos, pretzels, maybe some hot dogs? Well, Josh Chetwynd knows a thing or two about stadium grub. He is the author of How the Hot Dog Found Its Bun: Accidental Discoveries and Unexpected Inspirations That Shape What We Eat and Drink. And he is in the studios of Colorado Public Radio. Josh, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I don't know if I've ever given a lot of thought to how the hot dog bun came about, but you have uncovered the story of how it came to be. Tell us the story.
Well, amazingly, a lot of people have given thought to it. In fact, there are a number of people who have claimed to have brought together this gastronomic combination, this great marriage. The best story comes out of St. Louis in the 1880s, and there was a street vendor who was selling, at the time they weren't called hot dogs, they were called either Red Hots or Frankfurters. Mm. And while selling them, he would give out white gloves, because when someone would buy the Red Hot, they wouldn't want to get their hands scalded, or
sure,
they wouldn't want to get too greasy. The problem was is that a lot of the patrons were running off with the gloves, and this was really hurting his bottom line. What he ended up doing was going to a brother-in-law of his and saying, look, I have this problem. And it was lucky enough that his brother-in-law was a baker and suggested the soft roll.
All right, well, that's the story of the hot dog bun. Okay, can we talk nachos?
Oh, absolutely.
A snack?
I can always talk nachos.
A snack for army wives? Is that really how they came about?
The story of the nachos occurred in a Mexican border town just over the border from Texas. And there were some army wives who would go over to the small Mexican town to just shop and to enjoy the ambiance. And one day they went to a local restaurant, and it was at sort of an off hour, but the maitre d' let him in. His name was Ignacio Anaya. And Ignacio took just little pieces of what he could find inside the kitchen and threw it together and put together what was the first plate of nachos. And what I love about the story is that even though it was of Mexican birth, the type of cheese he used was Wisconsin cheese.
Hmm. Well, do you have a favorite discovery in this book? You sure cover a lot of ground.
The book is really the main theme is about luck. And I think my favorite kind of luck is the unexpected inspiration. And those are situations where a person really has a completely different idea in mind and is just lucky to kind of stumble across a great item. And the best story along those lines is the graham cracker. There was a gentleman by the name of Sylvester Graham, and he invented it because he thought it would be a deterrent for people's sex lives. And he lived at a time where foods were becoming processed, and he thought that part of that processed food and sort of very rich foods led to people being a little too focused on their libido. And I can only imagine, as a guy who thought that processed foods and sugars were bad for you, what he would have thought of s'mores nowadays using his graham crackers.
Well, we'll never think of s'mores in the same way. Happy eating, Josh.
Thank you.
Josh Chetwynd is the author of How the Hot Dog Found Its Bun. It's out next month. This is NPR News.
If you're weeding this spring, there might be an extra payoff. Dinner. WESA's Larkin Page Jacob set out with a Pittsburgh food writer in search of wild edibles that are often considered weeds.
It looks a lot like mint.
It's the same color as mint, the same height that it grows.
It is not mint. It's stinging nettles, and it's a key ingredient in Leia Lizarondo's pesto. On a chilly gray morning, we've come across a big, lush patch of nettles in a Pittsburgh park. And with her hands encased in old plastic bread bags, she starts tearing them up by their roots. Those bags are crucial because stinging nettles, they can be unpleasant.
It's like something pricked you, like a little ant that bit you, and then it starts being a little painful.
But Lizarondo says she likes that element of danger, which can be hard to come by when cooking with plant matter.
Put it in a bag, and here we go. Let's go look for some garlic mustard. Garlic mustard, it's a tall plant that has white flowers growing on top of it.
It's best to gather wild greens from areas you're familiar with. And Lizarondo explains there's a veritable grocery list of ingredients plaguing many backyards, like this one. Dandelions, the old standby.
Purslane.
Ramps.
There's also chickweed.
Back to the garlic mustard.
When you crush the leaf, you could actually smell the garlic. Little bit.
In the kitchen, Lizarondo gets a big pot of water boiling to blanch the nettles. That'll make them as gentle as spinach, which is exactly what they smell like after wilting in the hot water.
So we'll go back to our garlic mustard, and this is very easy to handle.
Okay. Lizarondo says pesto makes a great wild edibles starter dish.
There's not a lot of investment in it, and you can actually taste the green because you're not mixing it with something else that would mask the taste.
Into the food processor goes extra virgin olive oil, salt and pepper, roasted walnuts for body, lemon zest, freshly squeezed lemon juice, a few cloves of peeled garlic, water, and of course, wilted stinging nettles and fresh garlic mustard leaves.
That's it. And now you can put this in warm pasta or bread. So it's lemony, it's spicy, it's definitely not a basil pesto. The character is completely different, and your friends will definitely love it.
And as your guests are chowing down, let them know all they need to make the dish is stinging nettles and garlic mustard. Or maybe tell them over dessert. For NPR News, I'm Larkin Page Jacobs in Pittsburgh.
This is NPR News.